I have a question for you guys. The question is, what is love? You can answer if you want to, or you can just think about it. What is love? How do you understand love? I think there's a lot of, there's like different directions that you could go with that question, ways that you could think about it. But I think it's an interesting question. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. I actually, like a couple months ago, I listened to this podcast with Francis Chan on it. And he was talking about love. I love Francis Chan. But he was talking about love and how, like, that's like what he wants to be known for. And he was talking about John, who called himself like the disciple that Jesus loved. And how John, like at the Last Supper, he like laid his head on Jesus' chest. And hearing that and like thinking about it, I was like, I don't know if I would do that. I wish that would be me, but I don't know if I would feel like that comfortable. You know, this is Jesus we're talking about. Like, I'd be like, oh, I mean, I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I'm right next to you, but I don't know if I should lay my head on your chest. You're Jesus. There's just, for whatever reason, maybe I don't feel or understand God's love to the point that I would, you know, feel like John, be like, yeah, of course Jesus wants me to lay my head on his chest. Of course. So yeah, I'm going to do it. I don't care if he asks or not. I would love to be at that point. I pray that I will be at that point and that all of you will. But it made me think and in that time, it was probably like a couple weeks later, I think. I was sitting at the table with the girls, Selah and Eden. And I'm sitting there, and I just like, the more I was thinking about, you know, our Father's love, the more I was like, man, I want them to know how much I love them. And we're sitting there. And so I was like, all right, this is like a quiet moment at the house. It's like, I'm going to ask them, like, I'm going to tell them, you know. So I ask, like, girls, you know how much I love you? Yes. Immediately, Selah was like, yeah. And Eden responded. In this moment, I was planning to be like, you know, I love you so much. Like, no matter what you do, no matter how many mistakes you make, like, it doesn't matter how much you screw up. I love you so much, more than you can understand. I didn't say all of that because Selah answered immediately. And Eden, right after Selah answered, Eden was like, yeah, you love us infinity, like God loves us. I was like, I like paused for a second because I didn't want to say yes and just lie to them because, you know, I'm like, okay, well, how do I navigate this? But in that moment that I paused, Selah's like, well, no one can love like God. God's love is infinite, but no one can love like God loves. I was like, yeah, that's right. God loves you infinity, and I love you like almost infinity, right close, right there. And then they both just put their heads down and kept coloring, and that was it. And it was like a proud moment for me. It was cute. It was like I'm glad that Selah just kind of jumped in there and told the truth, because I didn't really want to. It was, yeah, made me thankful. I didn't really express to them all of those things that I was planning to say, but in some ways I didn't feel like I had to. Whoop. The crazy thing is, like, I would die for my girls in an instant. I love them so much. I love you guys, every one of you, and I don't know how often I've said it, but I love you. But I wouldn't even entertain the thought of letting my girls die for you. Wouldn't even entertain it. I love you very much, but I wouldn't let them do that. God didn't just let his only son die for you, but he planned it from the beginning. In the garden, he set in motion this plan, promised that his son, his only son, was going to be crushed for you because of the things that all of us have done. God loved the world so much that he sent his only son to the cross to suffer and die, that whoever believes in him wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. That is a love that's hard to comprehend. It's hard to understand. We really don't understand what Jesus experienced. God knew it. He knew the whole time, like, this is going to be just, my son's going to be humiliated, spit on, and beaten by people. And I'm sending him to that. And he's not just going to be, like, die in an excruciating way, but I'm going to pour out my wrath on him towards sin. And that, like, we there's no way for us to understand what that would be like. But Jesus had a pretty good idea of what that was going to be like, which is why he was sweating blood in Gethsemane. They knew, like, this terrible, terrible experience that was going to happen. But because of their love, they did it anyway. Because of their love for you, for me. It's a love that we really can't understand. Our brains will never understand it. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can grow in our understanding of that kind of love. And that's my prayer for you, for myself, that the Holy Spirit would reveal, would help us to understand this, like, supernatural thing, this unimaginable love that God has for us. I think as I get older, at a seasoned age of 37, I feel like this is a reminder, man, something that we just need to be reminded of often, God's love for us. I think as new believers, we probably feel it in a different way, maybe feel it more. In that moment, we're just, like, overwhelmed by God's love. And maybe we don't feel that exact, you know, we don't feel that exact feeling again and again, but I think just being reminded of that is so important for us as believers. I think it's important for those who aren't believers too, just to understand or try to understand God's love. And that's why I prepared all of that for skaters on a Thursday night. I didn't prepare that for you. I shared that on Thursday because I wanted the skaters to try to understand. I was praying that the Holy Spirit would help them to understand God's love for them. The reason I shared it with you this morning is partly because it's just a great reminder, but also to kind of give an example of what it's like to share with a bunch of skaters on a Thursday at the skate park. Because I would love for all of you to do that. Every one of you. I think it would be sweet. I know skaters are a little intimidating. They're really cool and really tough. But they're really nice. They're pretty much everybody that comes to the skate park. There's a few exceptions, but pretty much everyone is nice who comes. And I think it would be incredible for all of them to hear from you, not just me or John. I think it would be powerful if they all heard from you. And so, and really what I just shared isn't, it's not complicated or overwhelming. I asked a question that was related to the topic. I shared a personal story. Shared a personal story about love, the topic, and kind of explained the main idea and used scripture to solidify it, and then kind of reinforce the gospel. And I usually try to like share a hope or a prayer that I have for the skaters. It's not rocket science. I'm not even necessarily saying that's the best way to do it, but that's the way I do it. And I think it would be amazing if you did it as well. Kevin actually threw out the suggestion that I share how I share what I share on this Sunday. And when he did, I was excited by the idea just because I feel like lately I talk to a lot of skaters, a lot of people that aren't believers, and that's awesome. But when I get a chance to speak in front of people that are believers, my heart is just to encourage boldness and sharing your faith. And I think part of the reason for that is because of what God has brought me through in my life and where he's brought me to. You guys have probably, everyone in this room probably realizes that I'm quiet, a quiet person. I don't talk a lot. This Sunday morning is probably the most I'm going to talk this is like a week's worth of talking for me. But I've always been a quiet person, and I've always kind of like felt like Moses, you know. Moses came to the burning bush, which was the incredible experience that he had, but he came, God spoke to him. It's incredible. But he's like, well, I don't know about this. I don't speak very well, so I don't know if you realize that, God. I don't speak well, so I don't think I'm the guy. God's like, well, I don't know if you realize this, but I make mouths. So I don't know why you're even saying that to me. God also performed a couple more miracles, turned his staff into a snake, turned it back, turned his hand leprous, turned it back. And Moses was kind of like running out of excuses. And he's like, well, just please send someone else. Like, just, I don't know what else to say. Just send someone else. God got a little frustrated, understandably. I've felt that, like, I don't know that I'm the guy to be up in front of people talking. Growing up, if anybody who saw me when I was like, I don't know, well, it would be a wide range of years, but anyone who saw me growing up, if they saw me today, their jaw would be on the floor. Like, you're standing in front of people and talking. You're talking for 30 minutes or 45 minutes or however long this is going to be. I don't know. But they'd be shocked. There were actually people, a number of people who told me and my brother and sisters, they thought that we were stuck up because we just didn't talk. They thought we just didn't like them. And that's why we weren't talking. And when they told us this, like, years later, I was like, oh, no. That's probably all I said. It was just, no. But it was, and there were teachers who, like, I think maybe just for a little bit, but, like, thought we weren't that smart because we never wanted to raise our hand to, like, answer a question because then we would be talking in front of everyone. Didn't want to do that. Doesn't matter if we know the answer or not. I'll let someone else do it or answer wrong. I don't care. I had like such like social anxiety at times that I would have trouble talking to my friends sometimes. Like some of my closest friends who I literally grew up with since like third grade, just struggled to talk to him. Was like didn't know what to say. This is like a good friend of mine, you know. I feel like in a lot of ways, you know how Paul was like. Paul said like, if anyone has reason to boast, like it's me. I feel like that, only the opposite, or just in terms of like speaking in front of people. I'm like, my personality, my social anxiety, all of these things give me a pretty good excuse. Like if, like, I get very nervous. I get nervous every time I speak in front of skaters, even though I don't know how many times I've done it, but. I get nervous every time. I get nervous every time I lead worship. I'm nervous now. And I actually sweat quite a bit when I get nervous. So that's why I'm not wearing a light gray shirt, because then you would see it. Now you don't see it. So I can come across as maybe not nervous. But that's... The reason I mention all of it is because people—it's not like it's been a lot—but people have said like, "Oh man, you're a natural speaking in front of people," or like you don't seem nervous at all. I'm like, well, yeah, it's because I don't wear a light gray shirt. That's why I don't seem nervous. All of these things, like. I could easily excuse myself. Like, I'm not the guy. I'm not the guy who should be in front of people. Someone else can do that. Someone who's a talkative person could maybe get up in front of people and share about Jesus. Someone who's not who doesn't have as much social anxiety, they should be the ones getting in front of people and talking. But I don't want those things to hold me back. And I think not just that, but I'm motivated by maybe the most important things in the world, the most important things as believers. And so I'm going to share some of those, go through them a little quickly, somewhat quickly. See if I can multitask, drink some water, and move the clicker. And I got to put the cap on because I'm probably going to kick it. I'm motivated, even though I'm very uncomfortable, I'm motivated by a sense of duty. So I'm going to read this verse, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. You guys have all heard this verse many times. This is after Jesus suffered in some of the worst ways and then rose again from the grave. Before he ascended into heaven, Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." That's a powerful statement. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. These words, all of Jesus' words are incredibly important, of course, but the timing like puts a lot of emphasis on these words. The last thing that he says before he goes, you know, ascends into heaven, pretty important. And we're not all commanded or commissioned to speak on a stage or teach in front of people, whatever, but we are meant to teach. We are meant to disciple the people around us, our kids, our friends, our family. That's for all of us. It's like, it's a duty that we should feel a responsibility for. And I know that, you know, duty isn't like, me and my wife are very different, if you guys didn't realize that. I think I have like a, for whatever reason, I have like that sense of duty. I'm like, oh, this is my job, you know? This is, gotta do it no matter what. My wife doesn't feel that same way. She's motivated in a different way. Nothing wrong with that. But it's more like she's motivated more by love and not that I'm not, but I'll like, you know, grit my teeth because I'm supposed to. And she's more motivated by love. And we're gonna get to that in a second. So I'm jumping ahead, but let me see if I can. Another big one is, another motivator is need. And this verse kind of, it's self-explanatory. Romans 10, 13 through 14. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And again, not everyone's like called to preach, but everyone is called to share about the God that we serve. Let people know, because the world is so broken. It's sad the state that our world is in, and it's always been bad. It's always been bad, and there's always been just wickedness everywhere. But I think maybe it just feels the way it does now because things seem to be like pretty decent for a while, right? Like growing up, even like it seems like people were like moving towards decency, and now it's like, well, no. Now the shift is away from that, and like human life, oh, who cares? You know, I don't know. It's no one knows when Jesus is coming back, but it feels like it is gonna be soon. It is gonna be soon. Don't know how soon, but. Even with how broken the world is, man, like there's that much more need for people to hear the truth, to hear the word, because they have no idea what they're doing. And they have no idea, like, yeah, of course nothing is sacred because they don't know the one who made everything. They don't see the value in people because they don't understand that all people were made in the image of God. They don't know the God who made them. If you believe that everything just happened by chance, then what does it matter if anything continues? So sharing, man, that's just a huge need. The next one I'm going to talk about is honor. The honor that it is to share. This is one of my favorite verses. And we've talked about it a decent amount recently. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We were singing holy, holy, holy. This God that we serve, chose us. We're his own. He didn't have to. He didn't have to choose us, but he did. And he did that we might proclaim his excellencies. And this holy God, this perfect God, man, to choose someone who's gonna just stumble over everything, like we can't perfectly share about God. We can't perfectly help people to understand who he is or what he does, or like it's such an honor to have the God of the universe decide, like, yeah, you. I want you to talk about me. I want you to share about who I am, the love that I have for people, I don't know if there's I have like perfectionist tendencies sometimes in certain things, not sometimes, but in certain things. I don't know if there's ever, I don't know, is there anything that like makes you feel more unworthy than this holy God choosing you to share about him? Oh my gosh. The other part of this verse that I wanted to highlight is kind of that second part. He called you out of darkness. Like you have a story to share. He called you out of darkness to light. You were dead, and he made you alive. I think that's something worth sharing. And there, I don't know how long you guys, I should know. I don't know how long you guys have been believers. Like if it was, you know, some people, maybe from like 7 years old, you've known the Lord, or maybe you had some crazy times in college. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you've done or what you've walked through. The incredible thing is that you are dead. And without God, you are dead and destined for agony forever. But because Jesus came, because he suffered, he died, he rose again, and called you to himself, now you're destined for endless joy. And that's like, if God has changed your life, if your life looks different, that's a powerful story to share. Not just about you, about how God changed you, but that's also something like, man, when you share your story, like what does anybody have to say against it, you know? Like, no, God changed my life. This is who I was, and this is who I am now. You can't argue with that, you know? And it's a powerful, powerful way to connect with people and share about Jesus, about his love. And that's the last piece that I'm gonna focus on is love, which is, it's simple, but it's also complex. And I chose this verse. I love this. Matthew 22:37-40. And he said to him, this was, people were asking Jesus, like, what's the greatest commandment? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. I think the more that we understand God's love for us, the more we love God. I think the more that we love God, the more we love people. And the more our hearts break for how broken people are. I mean, good grief. Like, I think about myself and like, man, I need Jesus so much. like, even where I'm at, I'm like, man, I need Jesus more, like, to help me through everything that I'm walking through. I don't know how people live for like a day without Jesus, you know? Like, it's the things that people deal with, partly because they're lost and walking into just terrible, wicked things that destroy their lives. I don't know how people survive without Jesus. But I think it's incredibly important for us to, we can feel a sense of duty from this command, but focusing on love, God's love for us, our love for God, our love for people, I think moves us towards praise, and not just here on a Sunday morning, but praising God for who he is, for what he's done in us and through us, and praising God before other people. So I have some challenges for us. A couple things that that I would like all of you to do. The first one, the first challenge is to dwell on God's love. To take time to just sit and think, be reminded of God's love for you. Partly because I think the deeper God's love like settles in us, the more it comes out. And so this first challenge, I'm going to make it easy for you, and we're going to do it right now. So we're going to take a couple minutes, sit, and just soak in the reality of God's incredible love for you. And I pray that that in these few moments, that the Holy Spirit would help you to understand more than you already do just how deep his love is for us, just how deep his love is for you. We might think that we understand, and we do to an extent, but it's so much more than we can imagine. And so we're going to take a couple minutes to just sit, thinking on God's love. I thought about talking again a few times, but I just wanted to wait longer. I don't know, maybe we should have just spent the whole time thinking about God's love. I encourage you to not let this be the only time that you just sit and dwell, think, remind yourself of how much God loves you. The other challenge that I have for you is to preach the gospel to yourself. And I think it was like a year and a half ago or something that Kevin challenged us to preach the gospel to ourselves. I don't think I'm making that up. I'm pretty sure he did. Since then, I've been doing it every morning. Not every morning. That's the perfectionist part of me. That's just, anyway. Most mornings I'll wake up and try to do it first thing, just like, man, remind myself that, like, that I was dead and that, and where I was headed, but that God pulled me out of it, given me life, he's chosen me, saved me, and no matter what happens in this world, like, man, I'm like golden for eternity, which is incredible. It's like, it's a great reminder, especially when you wake up and you feel like garbage, like I did this morning, because I didn't sleep last night. Not just because I was nervous, but because my daughters woke up. But to wake up every day and just, man, we need that reminder. And so I challenge you to preach the gospel to yourself. The last challenge that I have for you is to take a step towards sharing your faith. Take a step out of your comfort zone towards sharing your faith. And that could look different for everybody in this room. And like I said, I gladly welcome anyone here on a Thursday or a Sunday to share with skaters. It will be outside of your comfort zone. It's outside of my comfort zone. But I think it would be amazing. But it could be as simple as talking to your neighbor, talking to friends, family, talking to someone at the grocery store and just asking them, like, is there anything you need prayer for? Because most of the time, like, well, the world is crazy and most people need prayer for something. Like, life can be pretty difficult. And my goodness, it seems like everybody's getting cancer and ask somebody if they need prayer. And I mean, they're most likely going to have something to say. They're also going to be encouraged that you care enough to ask. And if you take it another step and pray for them right there, like, man, that means a lot. And it's also an opportunity, not just to show them how much you care for them, not just to pray for whatever's on their heart, but you also get a chance to model what it's like to talk with your Creator. You know, you get a model prayer to them in that moment. And you know, like, I think for a lot of people, they're like, what do I even say to God? I don't know. Do I just like ask him for stuff all the time, or do I just throw up a Hail Mary or whatever? Man, you get an opportunity to share with them like how you thank and praise God, and yeah, you're gonna ask for something, but you're gonna glorify him through your prayer. You're gonna talk to him you can talk to him the way that you talk to your father, you know, like, and that's like, that's a beautiful thing to be able to do with somebody. So that's an easy little step out of the comfort zone that I encourage all of you to take. But again, I hope I see you all at Vessel on a Thursday, on a Sunday, because, and I'm just going to wrap up with this. Your story is powerful, and God's story is powerful, and his word is powerful, and it's alive, and you know all of those things way more than like 96% of the people that you see on a daily basis, at least up here. And so, man, something you know as well as your own story, man, you can share that. You definitely know scripture more than probably every skater who comes to the park. And you can share that. And you know the creator of the universe. And man, he is worth sharing. No matter how uncomfortable you might be, or how much you sweat. And so I'm going to pray for us. And I think part of my prayer is that you walk away from this morning with something. Even if all you remember is a cute story about my girls that points to God's infinite love for you, I think I'd say that's pretty good. But I encourage you to take steps towards understanding God's love more, sitting in it, take steps towards reminding yourself and towards sharing with others. Father, Lord, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you that you're good, that you're King, that you're holy. Lord, and we thank you. We thank you that you chose us to be your ambassadors, to be your representatives. Lord, you chose us to be with you forever. And even that, we can't comprehend what that is going to be like. We can't comprehend the joy that we're going to experience forever. Lord, we're grateful for who you are. We're grateful for how much you love us. Grateful that you chose us to be with you, chose us to represent you. Lord, I pray that we would understand your love more. And I pray that we would display your love, that we would share your love with other people. Lord, we thank you for who you are, for what you've done, and for what you will do. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.